Lord, I thank you that you want to set people free from a foul spirit. Lord, a spirit that's been sent by the enemy to cause them to be rejected, to cause them to never feel good about themselves, to not be able to fit in. And Lord, a spirit of the enemy that's been sent to cause them to be bitter against you and to blame you, instead of really seeing that Satan has put this foul spirit on them, that he could hurt them their whole lives and cause them not to like who they are. And so, Father, we thank you as you're clearing this up for us and giving us revelation about this particular spirit, and we're going after this strong man, that we'll see his yoke destroyed, and we just give you praise and glory for that in Jesus' mighty name. If you really even think about the word foul, when we looked up the word foul, it is a spirit that pollutes, it's a spirit that defiles, and it's something that makes you reject someone. It's what I think would make a lot of people what we would call valley people. I'm not talking about the valley girls. I'm talking about people who are always hurting, people who seem to be rejected, people who don't seem to feel good about themselves, people who have low self-esteem, versus the people who do not have this spirit and many times are prideful and haughty, and we call them mountain people. And their scripture is they shouldn't think more highly of themselves than they ought. But this is for the other side. This is, I think we've all bought into God just made you this way and you're supposed to like yourself this way and it's okay. And the people who usually tell you that are people who are mountain people. People who have lots of friends, people who get the jobs, people who other people admire and respect, people who say they have the calls on their lives. And then you're just supposed to be happy with being different. And what God has been doing is he's been teaching us that he's made every one of us unique, and he's made every one of us with gifts and talents and a calling on our life. He's made every one of us to represent him to the world. This foul spirit is from the pit of hell. This foul spirit has been sent directly to you, whether it's from a family curse, whether it's from sin issues in your life, judgments, whatever it is. It's been specifically assigned to you. You know, Satan truly is the commander of an army, a demonic army. And just as God has a plan for your life, Satan wants to mess that plan up. And so he, I believe, orchestrates what he wants to send to you. And he does that based on curses. He does it based on curses, things in your past, familiar spirits, ancestry. You know, he's not just a demon floating around, totally not knowing what he's doing. He was the one who was in one of the highest position. He was the highest in the highest position as far as angels were concerned in the kingdom of God. And before his fall, it was Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and then it would have been Lucifer, as far as with sphere of influence. And so he was created with extreme intelligence. That's why he tries to get that spirit of intellect. That's why he wants you to eat of that tree of good. And if you won't eat of that tree of good, he'll choose for you to eat of that tree of evil. And basically, a lot of people who have the foul spirit are more maybe prone to eat of the tree of evil and take on things to repel people than try to succeed main of the tree of good. So how, and I don't think it matters what the real name of a spirit is, because if you really check the Strong's, they kind of all mean the same thing, but they're basically evil spirits, evil or wicked spirits, unclean spirits, or foul spirits. And they're all basically just mean they're not from God. But if you want to tear down this foul spirit, think of it as something that causes people to be rejected by other people. In other words, an evil spirit, I think of as something evil, like murder or hatred, or do you know what I mean? It actually goes after people and does evil. It has evil intentions. And so you learn to, you know, stay away from evil people, or they're the ones who go to prison or whatever. And then you have spirits of infirmity, you know, sickness, different things. And I think they can fall into this foul spirit. I think this foul spirit marries or is united with spirits of infirmity, certain ones, and with unclean spirits. When you think of unclean spirits, you think of things that are sexually unclean. But there are many people who are into pornography or other unclean things who do not have what we'd call a foul spirit. In other words, you would never know them. They could sit beside you and they could run for president. And some of them maybe have. Could have even won before. In our society, to have an unclean spirit is considered normal now. Even in the church, people look the other way for an unclean spirit. There are Christian authors who are well respected in their fields who say certain unclean spirits are normal, such as masturbation and things like that. Totally not the standard of God. So unclean spirits in and of themselves are not foul spirits. But some people get an unclean spirit that, if you want to say, unites with a foul spirit, and then you have someone who you can look at and see perversion on. Someone that you don't want near your kids. Someone that you don't want to be around. Do you see what I'm saying? So to me, what God has shown me, and I'm not trying to, this is just so we can get to it. Sometimes you get free from an unclean spirit, but you don't get free from the foul spirit. Let's look at sickness. Some sicknesses cause you to repel people. Sicknesses that distort the way you look. Sicknesses that cause weight gain to a place of obesity. Sicknesses that maybe give you acne or skin rashes or leprosy. Why? Because those repel people. I think AIDS would be an infirmity, a spirit of infirmity, and it has an unclean spirit with it, but it also, I think, has a foul spirit. It makes people want to stay away from you. So when I'm talking about a foul spirit in this teaching, think about what's been sent to you to make people stay away from you. Same thing for mental retardation or mental illness, schizophrenia. It makes people want to stay away. So think of a foul spirit as something that hangs out with you and that's been assigned to make people not want to be around you. And if you have that spirit assigned to you, it's going to affect all your choices in life. It could affect who you choose to marry. It can affect how you raise your children. It can affect a lot of areas of your life. And a lot of people just say, well, that's just how I was born. So that would bring you to bitterness. If you think, well, God just made me to be rejected, or he just made me to suffer these things, or he just made me not to fit in, he made something wrong with me, then you're blaming God, and he did not make you that way. And we've got lots of teaching to help you get to that. We can't do all that tonight. Many times people will take on other spirits if they feel like they have a foul spirit. Maybe a spirit of seduction to try to lure people because they feel so much, or they may take on works. If I work hard enough, maybe people will want to be around me. In other words, they have a feeling that they have to try harder. And I think Satan can bring a foul spirit and try to put it to a whole race of people if he's trying to make them not fit in. And that's where racism and prejudice would come, I believe, out of that spirit. So it's basically a lie from the pit of hell that God created someone or some group or whatever not to fit in, but to be rejected. And the whole plan behind that spirit, its whole assignment is to make sure you don't fit in and you don't feel good about yourself. And so we've been talking about that for the last couple of weeks. And so Kirsten went home, and this was really cool because she called me. She's very, very soft-spoken, so we'll have to get her microphone and turn it up really loud. So I want her just to come and share a little bit. I don't want her to preach it because I know she doesn't feel comfortable preaching it, but to just share what she was praying about. And this is very humbling for her. But God will honor us when we humble ourselves before him. And as she can see, God's brought a lot of people who can really relate to what he shows each of us as he's setting us free.
For about the past 9 years, I've been struggling with a weight problem that I could never seem to get really an answer to. And all my life I was really thin. And then I just started getting this weight problem out of nowhere. And it was really hard for me because I didn't know where it was coming from. And I've been praying about it, seeking God's help for it for, you know, all these years. And last year about this time I was praying about it, and God just sort of dropped into my spirit that it had a spiritual root. And I was really amazed because I didn't know that a weight problem could have a spiritual root. But I believed him. And I went through the Bible. I looked up like every verse on a gluttony or anything having to do with eating. and idleness, because I also have this sort of twin problem of not laziness, but just lethargy, and I couldn't figure out where that was coming from either. And so I looked up all those verses. I got it pretty concrete into me that, yes, indeed, gluttony is indeed a sin, and so is laziness. But because I went through the Bible, looked up all those verses, and wrote them all down in a notebook, and I've just been praying for God's help with both of those things. And the other day, I've been reading this book on generational curses, and I know I have this generational curse in my family of alcoholism and drug abuse, but those had never been a problem for me. But I was reading in Proverbs, and I found these verses. It's Proverbs 23, verses 20 and 21. And they say, "Don't be one of those who guzzle wine, or of those who eat meat to excess, or for both drunkard and glutton will become poor. Drowsiness will clothe them with rags." And that just sort of jumped out at me, because just the day before I had been telling my husband, you know, "Rusty, I've got this problem with eating." I had never discussed it with my husband before because it was embarrassing. And I was telling him for like probably the first time, you know, I eat so much until I have to go throw up because I feel uncomfortable and I don't feel like I can control it. I feel like it's controlling me. And at the same time, I have this problem with sleepiness. I just always feel sleepy, and I don't know why. And then the very next day, God showed me these verses, and I was just amazed, because not only does it include gluttony in the same category with those who guzzle wine, which is a big problem in my family, but also it says that they'll be clothed with drowsiness. And I felt like, wow, that really describes me.
Okay. And the cool thing was, the Lord showed her, for her, that this was a family curse because of the alcoholism in her family. And because Satan was not able to snare her with alcoholism, and probably because she's a Christian. So he was not able to come in and get her with alcoholism or drug addiction, because she had enough Holy Spirit to know, "I'm not doing that." And so even though he would probably tempted her, it was never a temptation. But and in the body of Christ, who saw Charisma this month? I didn't read it, but I know the whole cover is obesity is a major problem in the body of Christ, and gluttony. And it seems to be the acceptable addiction. It seems to be the exception. If someone was up preaching who had an addiction to drugs or alcohol, no one would listen to them. Because by the fruit you'll know them, right? But you can think of very overweight ministers who have big ministries. And so we have chosen to say that eating and let Satan be in charge of that is acceptable. Therefore, we haven't seen it for the sin that God revealed to you that it was, and how much it needs deliverance. Before you can get free from something, you have to hate that thing. And you have to see it the way God sees it. And in the church, we've been able to recognize that about other areas of addiction. But this area of addiction, we have really just not touched. And like I said, when we do the two-day conference, we'll probably go into this in a lot more detail about how these habits happen and these patterns. But I believe obesity is a foul spirit. I believe vanity is not a foul spirit, but it's on the other spectrum. Vanity is a spirit to make people feel superior, to think that, well, if I can look a certain way, then I'm better than someone else. And vanity is just pure puffery. I mean, it's nothing. What you look like has nothing at all to do with your value. But if you have a spirit of gluttony, it is attacking the temple of God to destroy it and to bring early death and to destroy your witness, just as alcoholism or drug addiction or any other addiction. The biggest problem with real spirit of gluttony that goes to obesity is you can't hide it. So there are people who are in the body of Christ who have addictions just as severe as your addiction, but you wouldn't necessarily know it. And that's why this is not about judging or condemning or pointing fingers. And people have different areas. That's why when we do the conference, it'll cover things. I think one of the strongest addictions in the body of Christ, from what people call and ask me for help about and really have a lot of guilt about, that they can't get free from, is masturbation. And my prayer is God will really give me some answers to help people get free from that also when we do this addiction clinic, or whatever you want to call it, conference. And I say that because this is, we got to let go of the shame. If Satan can keep you in shame, he can keep you bound. When you can begin to take every single problem or issue and tear it apart and get to the root of it, get to the seed of it, find out what Satan lied about, not be in agreement with his lies about it, then you will get free. You also, and if we were talking about this, I can't get into all this today, but one of the problems with obesity as a foul spirit, just seems to be what we're talking about tonight. And then, like I said, and then people who will throw up not to get obese or use laxatives and all that kind of thing, anorexia. Those are powerful, powerful demonic forces taking over in the temple of God. And they can destroy your health. Both obesity, but also people who are anorexic. Anytime Satan is in charge of your eating, he's got a purpose in destroying the temple. And so you have to realize it's not about what you look like. And the problem, I think one of the problems, of why, and we talked about this before in one tape series, if your motive for not eating incorrectly is vain, God can't answer it. In other words, if you think being thin would solve all your problems, or change your value in the sight of God, or change your value to other people, then you're asking God to help you lose weight to increase your value. So if God delivered you with that wrong motive, he would then be in agreement with the spirit of vanity. Do you get that? See, God is so pure and holy that he cannot say, oh, I hear your prayer, you'd like to be thinner, but your motive for wanting to be thinner is you'll be a better wife, or your husband won't leave you, or you'll have a girlfriend then, or, you know, those are all wrong motives. And so you're asking, it's like when women, I've taught before, when women pray, oh God, you know, save my husband so that he can be the priest of the home, so that our house can be sanctified. You're praying with the wrong motive. You're not praying for that person's salvation. You're not praying. You're praying because you think it's going to help you. It's going to benefit you personally. And that's wrong doctrine. One believing spouse sanctifies a home. A prayer that benefits you personally, or you think is your answer, is letting something take the place of Christ. So God wants you to get to a place where when you pray, you don't personally benefit. Even though, truthfully, when God answers prayer, everyone benefits. Everyone in your family will benefit. But he wants a pure motive. So the first thing when we talk to somebody about praying for an unbelieving spouse is to just put it in God's hands. Quit. It has nothing to do with you getting the call in your life. It has nothing to do with you fulfilling everything God has for your life. It has nothing to do with how your children will be raised, because God says he'll be the father to the fatherless. God has made a provision that it just takes one believing spouse to totally cleanse, sanctify, and set that house apart as holy. And Timothy proves that in the Word of God, a mighty man of God and had a heathen father. And so God wants you to know you've got to quit praying selfish prayers. And you've got to quit praying with the motive that then my life will be okay. And then when you can really get free to love who you are, who God created you to be in Christ, then you can begin to hate the enemy who's come in to bring early death, or who's come in with the foul spirit to cause you to be rejected and not people not hear the testimony God has given you. And all of a sudden your motive begins not to be about your self-worth, but it begins to be about that you've been bought by the blood of Christ and your body is his temple. If you kind of look at addictions, and I haven't really studied this for the conference that's coming up, but it seems as if most of them, to some degree, a lot of them, have something to do with trying to destroy the temple or God's dwelling place. You know, the main addictions you think of.